KLC, the go-to place for New York Islanders hockey talk.
Welcome aboard the Isle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you as the New York Islanders bounce back once again with a 1-0 win at home over Colorado on Monday night and then a 4-3 overtime win in New Jersey against the Devils on Tuesday. They get a couple of days off before the Bruins come to the Barclays Center on Saturday night. We'll talk about that and a lot more. Christian Arnold from Islanders Insight will join me as well. So plenty to do on today's Isle Seat Podcast. The sponsors of the show, as always, Oakwood Automation, Bright Building Services, Santorini Restaurant, the Main Street Board Game Cafe, Accurate Precast Corporation. They take care of us. Please take care of them. Get your Isle Seat Podcast t-shirts at yesmenoutfitters.com. Devin's got a lot brewing over there. Big drops coming end of the week and into the next couple of weeks. So a lot happening for Devin. Check out yesmenoutfitters.com for all of that. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, iHeart, TuneIn, the homepage at isleseat.com, and, of course, our new hosting site, buzzsprout.com, too. You can find the Isle Seat Podcast pretty much everywhere at this point. So like we said at the top, a couple of big bounce-back performances by the Islanders here early this week. Things kind of were looking a little bleak. A loss to the Devils last Thursday, a shutout loss in Toronto on Saturday night. And, you know, it just kind of like all these times in the past year and a half, you kind of start to think, uh-oh, is this it? Is this going to, I was going to go on a little bit of a tailspin here. They turn around, they right the ship, and they pick up a 1-0 shutout win on Monday night at home against the top scoring team in the NHL. That's, you know, I know they're not playing very well right now, but that is a team that knows how to fill the net. And the Islanders shut them down on Monday night. And then Tuesday night, another struggle. And look, Jersey's playing better. They're one of the worst teams in the Eastern Conference. You need to win those games. Division rival, blah, 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 blah. But unlike last Thursday out at the Coliseum, the Islanders do get it done on Tuesday night. Get the 4-3 overtime win. The captain, Anders Lee, with the winners. He had the one goal on Monday. He has the overtime winner on Tuesday. So the captain getting jump-started a little bit here, and that's kind of where we're going to start right now because, as we know, the main topic of conversation when we talk about this New York Islander club is the scoring. And it's a very tough thing because, you know, it's hard to believe, but you open up your NHL.com app right now or wherever you like to regularly check the National Hockey League standings, and you check out the whole league, and the Islanders sit in the top five in the NHL. You know, they're 4 points back of second, which is the Bruins and the Blues, with two games in hand on both of those teams. So, you know, as bad as it gets sometimes, and it seems like the sky is falling or how it gets made out to be, and again, it gets made out to be by a lot of people on social media. That is perhaps just a small percentage of the fan base. We understand that, but they are the louder percentage, and it makes it hard sometimes because, you know, you look at some things, and there are negative things. Goal scoring is a problem. It is a fact. This team does not score enough goals. That is a straight-up fact. But another fact is that they still win games. And I know that sometimes it may be hard to navigate your feelings about this team because there are times that you know that they can be better and you think that somebody else can make them better and an extra piece could make them better, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, you take all that stuff and you wipe it away for a minute and you look at the big picture, and the big picture says the Islanders are one of the five best teams in the National Hockey League. As crazy as it sounds, and it boggles your mind sometimes because there are deficiencies that you see. They do not score enough goals. And the part that really kind of gets a lot of the fan base you know, constantly banging their head against the wall is you don't know how it's going to get solved. We've seen when this team can score, how they can play. When the guys that get paid to score, when they're doing their job and they're filling the net, you just look at that whole stretch in the 17-game point streak. But it comes out a lot more like it has in the last 6 weeks, how badly this team needs more punch. When Anthony Beauvillier's got one goal in 20-plus games, when Josh Bailey has one goal in 20-plus games, Jordan Eberle scored his fourth goal of the season Tuesday night against the Devils. And that's in 30-plus games now. I know he missed some time. There are guys in major droughts. And Anders Lee was right there with him until, you know, you got to give him a pass today considering he has, you know, back-to-back game winners. But that's the thing right now is you've seen in the last 6 weeks the guys at the top of the food chain in the aisle scoring department not scoring goals. And that's why you've seen 500 play, basically, for the last 5 or 6 weeks. It is a very tricky thing to navigate, and it is a kind of different feel from last year because they're doing the same things that they were doing last year. It's the same guys. We know that. The difference was last year, it was so unexpected, it was so out of nowhere, that whether they were winning games 1-0 or going through stretches where guys like Bevilier and Bailey and Eberle and Anders Lee, etc., were not scoring goals, they were still treading and winning games. And when those guys do score, they win games, period. Yeah, last year was so exciting because it was unexpected. You didn't know it. And now you've come into this year. They get such a great start with the 17-game point streak. And you know that this team can do so much more if they just had that little bit extra. If they just got those extra couple of goals. But at the same time, they're not 15th in the NHL. They're not sitting in a wild card spot. They're one of the five best teams point-wise in the NHL. A very hard line to sway side to side. You want to be frustrated at times, but you also have to look at the other side. As frustrating as times can be, this team is still good. They still win. And that's why you can want to bang your head against the wall. And how does that problem get solved? This has been like the million-dollar question for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. How does a problem like this get solved? How do they add more scoring? My guess is we don't truly know the answer. Everybody wants a trade. I get it. I've said for a year, they need another legitimate top six scorer, and they can become what they were last year, a team that finishes in the top three, gets to the second round, maybe the third, to become a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. They need a guy like the guy they missed out on in the summer, Artemi Panarin. They are doing the same things right now they were doing last year, and they're trending to do the same things that they did. Finish second or third in the Metro and win a couple of rounds. They're trending in the same spot with the same guys. Does the piece get added? Who is the piece that you want added? You know, you're looking at the landscape right now around the league of where will the Islanders find this scoring touch that they desire so much. There are no Artemi Panarins available at the trade deadline. There are no Matt Duchesnes. There are no Mark Stones. There just isn't. At least not right now. Players of that caliber just are not available right now. Are there players that can make them better? Absolutely. Tyler Toffoli can make them better. J.P. Pageau can make them better. But how much better? I think a lot of us think a lot better because you just want something. You just want something else there. Because I agree with a lot of you guys. I don't want to see Tom Kuhnhackl playing with Matthew Barzal. I don't want to see it. And let me tell you something. I like what Tom Kuhnhackl's been doing. He's a guy that I want in the mix, but not in that kind of a mix. He's a guy that I do want a part of this team in the stretch and in the playoffs because he's a quality grinder type, a bottom six type, but he's not a guy who should be playing with Matt Barzal. So, of course, they do need to fill that role. But game-changing type of guy that puts them to another level, I don't know who he is right now. And that player is also not at Bridgeport. Should Kiefer Bellows get a shot to try to put more pucks in the net than the guys that are doing it right now? Yeah. Should Kiefer Bellows be playing on the top six before Ross Johnston? Yeah. But I just got to go by what I've seen the last year and a half. I have to look at the information and the past history that I have in front of me from the last 18 months. And what does that information tell me? That until I see Lou Lamoriello make said move, I have to assume that he's comfortable with the group that is out there. Right, wrong, or indifferent. And it is super frustrating because you know there are games in this stretch that they could have won if they had a little bit more up front. And it's going to be super frustrating if they lose a playoff series because there could have been a little bit more up front. So I think really at the end of the day, we all agree, no matter what side of this you sit on, we all agree that the team does have a major goal-scoring issue. But we also just have to keep in perspective, they still win. Are they winning right now like they did in October, November? No, they are not. But they're winning. Can they keep up this basically 500 trend for the last that they've had for the last 5 or 6 weeks? No, they cannot do that either. So either those guys who I mentioned, the Beauvilliers, the Baileys, the Eberleys, etc., pick it up and start scoring like they did in the first 2 months of the season, or Lou's going to have to find somebody who can. And we know how frustrating it is because we all wanted somebody last year at the deadline and there was no presents under the tree on deadline day. Will the continued play of Kiefer Bellows, if he keeps filling the net in Bridgeport, will that factor in? Here's my one thing I'll say about Bellows. If that is a move that eventually the Islanders do want to make, you have to make that move and be strong with it. If you're going to make that move, he has to come here and play with Barzal or Brock Nelson. That is the move to maximize what you think he can do. The move with him is not to come here and play 8 minutes and play with bottom six guys. It's just not the move. Maybe that's why it hasn't happened yet. But that move's a waste if you don't use that move the right way. And it has to be done the right way. And the right way is playing with people that will help him score goals. I don't know where they go. I think it's a big mystery. I think everybody's puzzled because you don't know anything that Lou's going to do. You never know what Lou is going to do. But I know one thing's for sure. Islander fans are going to keep banging their heads against the wall till something does happen. Just don't bang it too hard because you could still open up that app and see that they're sitting in the top five in the NHL. They're still sitting there. How you get there? It is what it is, but they're still sitting there. It's a very thin line to go back and forth across, that's for sure, because you see the swings just in the last week alone. You look at games like Thursday and Saturday, and you say, if they had some scoring, if they can, and they all going to tell you the right things. I know they hit a billion posts in Toronto and this, that, and the other, and that they're getting unlucky at some points, you know, but games like that are going to make you hit your head against the wall. And it's a ride we're all going to have to keep going on here for the second half of the season as it kicks off and we get closer to the deadline and we wait to see if Lou does make his first trade since July of 2018 and see what his ideas are for this team. Coach said at the end of the year last year he thought he could have used a little bit more pop. Lou tried to get pop in the summer. Did not happen. Let's see if he tries to get pop at this deadline that will be approaching here in the next 6 to 7, 8 weeks. Should be very fascinating. Going to be a fun ride. So that's the scoring stuff that we all know and love. And as far as the D goes, we know Adam Pellick out for the year. Won't see him again. Enormous blow for the Islanders because, as we know, him and Ryan Pulock have become Barry Trotz's go-to guys. The guys that are back there against the other team's top forwards. The guys that shut down Sidney Crosby and the Penguins in the first round last year. The guys that play 20 minutes a night plus. Very tough blow. But so far, couple games so far, I like what Letty has done with Pulak. It's been a good mix so far. You know? And that opens up Noah Dobson. I thought last week, right out of the gate, that Aho maybe would get a little bit of burn. Barry has decided to go with the kid. And look, has he had his moments? Yeah, he has. There's been some moments that kind of make you go, ooh, be careful there. But for me, there's so much talent there. So much talent. And he's with a guy that is a grizzled veteran in Johnny Boychuk. He's getting basically a crash course from him on being an NHL player. This is just one of those situations where if Barry Trotz feels that Noah Dobson can play, and he has to play though a normal rotation. You know, you had the one game last week where he clearly played a lot less minutes than everybody. You saw him late in the game, in the Devil game, he was out there. We know he had a tough go Saturday night in Toronto. I mean, look, that Kapanen move, I mean, that could happen to anybody. I mean, that was just a sick move by Kapanen on the first Toronto goal. He's going to have his moments. He's 20 years old. Personally, as we said a lot at the beginning of the year, if he's going to learn a lot playing and he's going to be better for it, I can take the occasional hiccup if it doesn't cost you games. And with the way that this team plays, the margin is so slim. Yeah, maybe one of his errors can cost him a game. But right now, he's in there. He's for the most part steady. A couple of blips on the radar. I do not deny that. But I'm confident that he's getting run out there every night playing with Johnny Boychuk. This kid's going to learn more and more as it goes on. And he does bring a little bit of a heightened skill on the offensive side, which a lot of guys on the Islander blue line do not have. He's got some skill. I don't want to see him going nuts. A couple times in that Jersey game, he was going real deep in the zone. But he's got a knack for some offensive skill. And it's not like this team, as we just talked about over and over, it's not like this team can't use a little extra offense. But that's something that he needs to, that will come with time. But for right now, as long as things don't get super ugly back there, which they have not, I'm perfectly fine with Noah Dobson learning on the job with Johnny Boychuk. Is Aho going to get a shot? Yeah, I think Aho's going to get a shot. If Hickey was healthy, would he be in there? Yeah, I think Hickey would be in there if he was healthy. But right now, you kept Dobson for the year. You didn't send him to juniors. You riding with him. Ride with him. Play him. All this is going to do is help him down the road. All this is going to do is, and I know down the road, you're on this year right now, as we just talked about with the scoring. It's about this year. But this is good. This actually does count as this year. Because the big minutes that he plays now is going to make him more comfortable for the big minutes he might have to play in April and May. So you have to look at it from that point as well. And if things got really bad, if things got really sloppy, if he made a lot of rookie mistakes, the coach will get him out. Playing a kid like that, I trust the coach. Coach wants him out there, I'm fine with it. That's just the way that I look at it with Dobson. With the goalies, clearly, Varlamov has taken over. 5 starts in a row before Greiss plays on Tuesday. It is clearly his net right now. And I don't think he's going to give it up. I think that you're going to see more of a, 3-1, 4-1 ratio coming up here. Now, they're going to have a week plus off coming up soon with this All-Star break. They've got one more back-to-back, which would be next Monday and Tuesday like they just had, so you know they'll split there. Could you see Varlamov play the other games besides that going into the break? Yeah, I probably could. But I'm sure that Greiser will get in there a few more times. He didn't play awful against the Devils on Tuesday night. He'll get his cracks, but Varlamov has just been too good. And Barry's making the right move by playing him right now, riding a guy who's a little bit hotter. And you saw it last year in the second half. Eventually, it did splinter off into more Robin Leonard. I mean, Grice had to play a bulk in March when Leonard got hurt. But for the most part in the second half of the season, Leonard played more. Grice, I thought, had the bigger wins when you look back at that January win in Washington and against Tampa. You know, there were big games that Grice did win last year in the second half, but it splintered off into more of Leonard, which led into the playoffs and Leonard playing more. So it's kind of happened a little bit earlier this year, but there was a clear difference in play over the last 3 weeks, a clear difference. And Varlamov is in there now, and he's the guy. How long it lasts? Hey, the good thing about having two goalies you have confidence in is that if he falters a little bit, then Grice gets a chance to carry the ball. Nothing wrong with that at all. So that's the Islander goalie situation. Joining me right now, one of my all-time favorites, of course, and that is the managing editor of Islanders Insight. Does an outstanding job. He writes for everybody. The AP does plenty of great stuff, and that's Christian Arnold. CA, what's up, pal?
Hey, Mikey, how's it going? Happy to be here.
Yeah, pal, listen, you know, the thing with the Islanders right now, it seems like, as we know, a little bit like last year at points, every time that you think things are about to get, like, real bad, you know, after, like, losing to the Devils 2-1 Thursday and then a 3-0 shutout in Toronto, you're thinking that, you know, maybe the wheels are about to come off the bus. You know, they come back with the 1-0 win over Colorado, a 4-3 win in overtime over the Devils, and it just seems like with this system, you know, they're never going to get into a spot, CA, where they're going to go 3, 4, 5 games without a win.
Yeah. It's kind of been the effect, the Barry Trotz effect, and obviously the effect of the system that the Islanders had. They're a very defensive team, and obviously that shows by the kind of the lack of scoring they had, even going into last night's game on Tuesday against the Devils, where I think they had 13 goals over the last 7 games. And, you know, it's a team that obviously doesn't put up a ton of points, but when they do, they seem to make it count. And when they kind of get into a little bit of a rut like they had over those couple games span before that, they seem to figure out and they seem to get it going. And last night was a big win, obviously, and obviously getting the win over Colorado, which is a very good team out in the Western Conference. Those were two big points. And with so many teams in front of them and below, or not so many teams in front of them, but so many teams below them chasing them, especially the Penguins right on the heels, the Carolina Hurricanes right on the heels in the division. These are the games that they need to win, and they need to put these points on the scoreboard.
Yeah, and you bring up the scoring, and that's clearly the thing that everybody wants to talk about right now. Because you know that this team can play D, you know that the goaltending will be there, you know all of those things, but the one major question, of course, is going to be is, you know, they're going to score some more goals. Because you go back, Christian, you look at that 17-game point streak, and I know the Islanders are billed as this, you know, big defensive juggernaut and stuff. You look at a lot of those games, I mean, they were scoring 3, 4, 5 goals a night in those games. I mean, they were getting scoring during that streak. I know that they chipped a couple of 2-1 games in there here and there, but for the most part, they were hitting that magic number of 3+, and you kind of look at the guys now who are supposed to be getting it done. You know, Josh Bailey's got 1 goal in 20-plus games.
Right. There's a few guys that are not
playing on the board. Bevilier's got 1 goal in 20-plus games. As we know, Eberle, before scoring Tuesday night in Jersey, he had 3. Now he's got 4 in 30, just around 30 games he's played. So the guys, CA, that are in the top 6, who probably should be putting it in a lot more, you know, they got to get cooking here.
Yeah, that's the big thing. And I mean, you mentioned Jordan Eberle, who's had, scored his first goal since December 14th. He has 4 goals this year. And obviously, he's kind of dealt with some injuries earlier in the year, and he's kind of struggled to get going. I mean, but you need those guys to score. Beauvillier, Eberle, Josh Bailey. You know, obviously, Bailey's never been a huge goal scorer every year, but he's a guy that usually puts up a lot of points if it's as a setup man. So, and it kind of showed the last couple games where the Islanders, you know, not getting the goals they need, losing a 2-1 game to New Jersey. The chances are there, and I think you kind of saw it where Lee finally got that goal against Colorado, Monday at the Nassau Coliseum, and maybe everyone took a little bit of a sigh of relief there, because Tuesday, you know, they get a quick goal on the board. They're looked like they were shooting the puck a little bit more. They looked a little more confident in their shot, and then they're going in. And that's the kind of thing. Sometimes you just need to see one of those go in. And I think even last year we saw, you know, a spurter here where the Islanders weren't getting pucks to go into the net. And they need that scoring from all 4 lines. And you kind of saw it again. That was the big thing about Tuesday's win over the Devils. They had three of their four lines scoring. They had guys on the top line, they had guys on the third line, they had guys on the fourth line putting pucks in the back of the net, which is a huge thing for the Islanders and the system that they run. Obviously a very defensive system, but part of Islanders hockey that Barry Trotz has implemented with this team is the fact that all four lines roll. Any line is going to put a puck in the back of the net, and that's where you see the team at their best, and that's where you see them putting up those 3-4 goals against any given opponent, whether it's a bottom six team or whether it's a top six team. When the Islanders aren't necessarily doing that, that's when you have kind of those 2-1, those 1-0 games where it's going to come down to like one or two little mistakes, and that could either cost them or that could be the benefit for the Islanders. And that's kind of the way they got to play. They have to have a game where all four lines are rolling, or you don't see those 3-4 goal nights for the Islanders. That's when they get into these little ruts where it gets magnified, where Jordan Eberle or Josh Bailey or Anthony Beauvillier, where they're not putting as many points as they need on the board, and it becomes much more magnified. So for the Islanders to be successful and the Islanders to kind of get out of this rut, and like I said, you kind of saw Tuesday night against the Devils, they needed those four lines rolling. Everyone was having opportunities. Everyone was putting pucks on net, and that pays off in the end because one of those shots are going to find back in that for all four of those lines. So that's kind of the style that they've played. That's kind of the style that's been successful for the Islanders. And when they do that, that's when they're at their best. And you saw that, Tuesday night against the Devils, where they finally got out of that rut, where they're putting multiple goals on the board in the game, and they're getting a win out of it.
You know, Christian, I was talking about this in the open of the show here today, and I just, it's hard for the fans because, you know, everybody wants something to be done. You know, everybody wants to add that piece, or everybody wants to bring up Kiefer Bellows, and everybody wants, you know, because he's red hot down at Bridgeport. He's
right.
Scored like 13 goals in 17 games, whatever it is. You know, everybody wants to just do everything. But, I mean, if you look around, Christian, you know, being around this team, I mean, it's been a year and a half now. I think we kind of have to just take for, you know, just understand that Lou is going to go about this in a very calculated, on his own pace type of a way. There isn't going to be jerk reactions. He's going to let things play out, kind of from what we talked about at the top. You know, they don't get into ruts where they lose 4, 5, 6 games in a row. So even though maybe they're not scoring for a little bit, they still win some games here and there and stay afloat. But I think that fans are just, you know, they're just going to keep banging their heads against the wall if you keep wanting Lou to make a deal tomorrow, you know, because it just, you know this, Christian, it ain't happening tomorrow, if it happens at all.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been pretty clear over the, you know, the last year plus that Lou Lamoriello has been the Islanders GM that he's not going to make a move unless it makes sense. Unless the Islanders are getting better by this move, that's not even that, just they're just, it's a comparable move, that they're getting significantly better, he's not going to pull the trigger. He's a very calculated guy. He has the roster in place that he does for a reason. And then the coaching staff is kind of the same way in the sense that they're going to put the guys out there that, whether they're a young guy that's struggling a little bit, you saw it last year with Beauvillier where it took him a little time to get going. Trotz kind of gave him the leeway to make some mistakes and kind of figure it out. And then he finally got on a roll and you saw the end product last year where he was a big part of the Islanders, run to the playoffs and obviously play a huge part in the playoffs as well. So, from management, even to the coaching staff, they're people in place that give the Islanders players and then the team their leeway to figure it out. And that's kind of what the Islanders have to do under Lou Lamoriello. And plus, at this point, like making a deal for a significant player that was going to make the Islanders better by extension, that's a tough deal to find. I mean, people kind of obviously there's one player in particular, Pageau, who always gets a lot of attention, and people kind of keep bringing him up every once in a while from Ottawa. But even that's going to be a pricey deal, and it's going to come down to what are you willing to part with, and what do the Islanders have that deal goes through and it makes them better in the long term as well. And that's the other thing people have to look at. Lou Lamoriello is not looking to make this team better just for this year and maybe make a second round push again into the playoffs. It has to be something that's going to get them to the Eastern Conference Final, Cup Final. It has to be something that's going to benefit them long term. And, that's always the big question, too. How many guys are on the market that are going to make that impact for this organization? And what do the Islanders have that is worth risking down the line for that end goal?
That's my thing, Christian. That's my thing. I mean, you look around and listen, are there guys out there that are going to be available that could make this team better? Of course there are. But it's not like you're chasing like last year, Mark Stone or Matt Duchene,
yeah,
or Panarin, or, you know, all those names, Christian, who are immediate impact type of guys, I don't see those guys available as we get closer to this deadline. Now, could somebody? Of course they could. Could somebody go on a bad run the next 6 weeks and want to sell everything off? Yeah, but you're looking at it on the surface right now, and I just don't see the – there's no big impending free agent UFA that's going to be – I mean, Tyler Toffoli? I mean, yeah, I like him. Could he improve the Islanders? Sure, but he's not an impact player like a Stone or a Panarin or Duchesne like last year.
Right. I mean, maybe that player was Taylor Hall before the the Devils traded him.
But they were never getting Taylor Hall. You know that, Christian. They were never getting Taylor Hall.
Right. And even, let's go into a world where that was potentially a possibility. Taylor Hall is likely not going to re-sign with the team that trades for him in that deal, right? He's going to test the free agent market regardless of what team trades for him. Maybe he kind of rethinks that if they go on a deep run, blah, blah, blah. But most likely he's not re-signing. So you're paying what could be a very high price for Taylor Hall for a rental player that's not guaranteeing you that end goal that we're talking about, and for an extended period of time, not just short-term success. You want to set this up for a couple of years down the line. So you're right. There's really not that many options on the table. Maybe that changes. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. But right now, I mean, the Islanders, without Cal Clutterbuck and without some other players, these fixes are going to have to come from within the organization. And you're going to have the guys that are on the roster right now kind of figure it out. Even with Adam Pellick out now. Defensively, you're going to have Noah Dobson get a few more chances. Obviously, Sebastian Aho is up here now. All these fixes or these replacements, I guess you could say, are going to come from within the organization. This is basically that next man up mentality, and that's what the Islanders have to have and have to do if they're going to be successful and kind of figure this out and kind of get through some of the minor bumps to get back where they were last year.
We're talking with Christian Arnold, Islanders Insight, of course. And you bring up the D now, Christian, and we'll go there next. Pellick goes down. He's not going to be around. That's a huge blow, as we know. Him and Pulock were so good, especially shutting down Crosby in the first round last year. That is Barry Trotz's top shutdown pair, playing 20 minutes a night, et cetera, et cetera. So you've got some chess pieces kind of moving on the board here. Letty goes and starts playing with Pulock, which over the first couple games doesn't look like a bad fit. It looks like something that maybe will be okay for them. But the big thing is Dobson. And you've got the kid just turned 20 this week, as we know.
Right.
When this first happened, Christian, I kind of thought to myself that maybe Aho would get a little bit more burn at the start. Now it's only been three or four games, whatever it's been, and Dobson's been in there each time, and it helps him that it looks like he's getting this nice, kind of learning on the job from Johnny Boychuk playing with him, which is really cool too. Do you think Dobson, how especially watching him last night, where now he's been in there three or four games in a row, do you see where he's maybe going to be this guy that's in there every night? Or do you think that there's going to be a time where you think he's been a little too sloppy at times, where maybe Aho or somebody else, I wish — it's too bad Hickey's not healthy, because Hickey could have been a guy in there, but maybe Aho gets a little bit of burn here too.
Yeah, and I think that's you kind of mentioned Hickey. I think everyone kind of forgets about that too, because obviously him being out right now, I mean, that would have been such an easy fit for the Islanders. You know, talk about a guy who kind of fits. Obviously, Adam Pellick is a little bit of a different player, obviously, size-wise and kind of ability to throw his body around. But, I mean, you want a guy who's kind of fits the Adam Pellick role, who's responsible, can kind of get back and break up a play. I mean, remember the way Thomas Hickey played? That was kind of his style as well. He was a responsible guy. Obviously, he made some mistakes, but what defenseman doesn't from time to time? To answer your question, I mean, it seems like Dobson's going to be the guy they go to for the time being. I mean, this is a guy who, the Islanders were in a tight spot with coming into training camp and going into the regular season with everything around him either having to be here in the NHL or go back to juniors. And I guess at this point, this is an opportunity for him to step up and show why he should be here, why, keeping him around and not sending him back to juniors made the most sense. And this is his opportunity to kind of learn on the job. I mean, Johnny Boychuk's not a bad teacher by any stretch of the imagination.
No, so that's the perfect guy to teach a 20-year-old kid how to play defense
in
the NHL.
And that's the perfect situation if you're the Islanders, right? I mean, if you're trying to make, lemonade out of some lemons here, this is it. You get Noah Dobson into the lineup, you get him consistent presence, and, kind of going back to what I mentioned about Beauvillier last year, and something Trotz talked about several times after Beauvillier got going, is that he gave him that rope to figure it out. And it kind of seems like that's maybe what the Islanders do here. They give him that rope Noah Dobson to figure out and be successful and things really start to go downhill, you have that option. Aho, who has obviously has had a lot of success in the AHL. He's going to the AHL All-Star Classic after he was called up. They named him as an AHL All-Star. So he's obviously having a lot of success down there. And that's not a bad option to have as your backup, too. So I think for the time being, it's going to be Dobson there in the lineup.
Yeah, I don't mind it. I know a couple people were, you know, saying last night on social media and everything that he made some mistakes, which he did, and he kind of got that capping and made that great move on him right. Saturday night in Toronto, which a lot of the guys he said told him, you know, could have happened to anybody, which is true. It was an unbelievable
right.
move that he made.
It was an incredible move.
That's a world class move.
I mean,
move
as a Islander fan, I'm sure it was tough to watch, but yeah, I mean that's how many NHL guys have you seen get posterized
right.
every once in a while on a good play.
And listen, I like the fact that he can learn on the job here, and they're winning games. Hey, if he's in there and he's not, listen, if he's making mistakes all over the ice, Christian, you know this, Barry Trotz isn't going to put him in a game. So
right.
if Barry Trotz has the, you know, the confidence in him being on the ice, then everybody else should too. That's just the way that I look at it, because I think that Barry Trotz has shown now, being here for a year and a half, that he knows what he's doing. Okay, he definitely knows what he's doing.
And I think that's a great point too. You look at the way Dobson's played. I mean, he's getting it. He's making a lot of good plays too. And but the mistakes are always things that are going to get highlighted, especially as a younger player, because those are the things that always stand out the most. Those are the things you'll see on replay 20 times. You won't see when he makes a smart pass in his own end. You won't see when he kind of makes a smart play that breaks up an opportunity for the opposing team. So you're always going to, the highlight is always going to be the mistake, and that's kind of always what sticks in everyone's mind. So I think if you watch Dobson play consistently over the last couple games, you're right. He makes a couple little mistakes here and there. He obviously made some more, a couple mistakes that stand out, but he's also playing better and better, and you're seeing it become more comfortable. And again, like I said before, Johnny Boychuk is not a bad guy to learn
right.
from out there on the ice. So when you have Boychuk out there, you kind of see him going up to him, and it's even after a play like that where mistake kind of leads to an opportunity for an opposing team, you do see Johnny Boychuk a lot going up there and kind of talking to him, it seems like there's a lot of good communication there, which is key as he develops.
You know, Christian, the Islanders went through the first, whatever it was, 30-some-odd games going back and forth with the goalies between Varlamov and Greiss, and now we've gotten into a string here in the last 2 weeks where clearly Varlamov has been the better goaltender. He started
mm-hmm.
5 in a row before Greiss got back in there in Jersey on Tuesday night. Does it seem like, you know, going into the second half of this season here that it's going to be more of that, where Varlamov is going to be the main piece? Or do you think eventually it gets back to that, you know, more back and forth split time type of a situation?
No, I think this is where you see Barry Trotz start to lean on one goaltender a little more over the other. Obviously, he has always said that he has a 1A, 1B, and it kind of changes who that 1A, 1B is. And I think for now, it's Varlamov. And I think that Barry Trotz is going to go with the guy that's got the hot hand. And right now, you look at the play of Varley, and he's been the better of the two goaltenders. Obviously, you know, some of the 5 games he had maybe weren't some of the Islanders' best, and maybe they weren't putting the goals on the board, but he's played very well. And even Thomas Greiss, even last night, played very well. You could see him kind of getting back into the rhythm a little bit from time to time where he didn't look totally comfortable. But when the Islanders needed a big save, Thomas Greiss made it. But I think that you look at what has transpired over the last couple games, Varlamov has clearly distinguished himself as the 1A in this instance, and that Trotz is going to kind of ride that through till he feels that maybe it's time to give Greiss a couple starts. I don't think we're going back to any sort of goalie rotation every other game where Varley and Greiss are playing, one night Varley, one night Greiss. I think you'll see it more consistently. One goaltender is going to get a number of starts consecutively before going back to the other. And that may change just by the way of who's playing better during that given stretch of the season, where maybe Greiss starts to pick it up a little bit and Trotz gives Greiss 3-4 games in a row before going back to Varlamov. So the Islanders, for where they are and the goaltending situation they have, they seem to found themselves, again, two goaltenders that really seem to be able to give them a chance to win night in and night out, and they've really benefited. That obviously a lot of that credit goes to the goaltending coaches who have done a lot of great work in the NHL through the course of their career.
No question about that. And you guys all who cover the team had to be stunned when Barry at the morning skate on Monday said, you know, follow him off tonight, Grice tomorrow. I mean, how often do you get, how often do you get the goalie plan laid out by Trotz 48 hours in advance? Jeez, that, I was stunned when I saw that.
When that happens. It's very rare.
Maybe he'll do that next week with it, because Monday, Tuesday again, back to back, Rangers in Detroit next Monday and Tuesday. Maybe he'll come out Monday morning and give you the same thing after that. So.
Now you're being very optimistic, Mike. I don't know about that.
Speaking of the schedule, before we get out of here, Christian, you know, this is a pretty weird thing. I was looking at this yesterday. You know, for the next calendar month, January 8th, which is tonight, Wednesday, January 8th, all the way through February 8th, when they're in Tampa that night on a Saturday night, between now and then, Christian, the Islanders play one game outside of the New York metropolitan area, which is so bizarre. They're in Carolina right on January 19th. Other than that, they're home for, what is it, 7 home games and 2 road games, but the 2 road games are at the Garden against the Rangers. So
right,
a big opportunity here, Christian, and they have the All-Star break squeezed in the middle of that as well. But big opportunity here for the Islanders to kind of get back to that feeling that they were in early in the season when they played a lot of home games in late October, early November. They kind of built off of that long point streak. And you look down the road, Christian, you better take advantage now, because I look down the road too. March is just like the whole month is on the road. I mean, and it's every
right
other night, and it's on the road, and it's grueling. This is a big opportunity here over the next stretch at home. A lot of teams that maybe you can beat for the Islanders to lay some ground, because as you said earlier, I mean, nobody loses in this division. I mean, just nobody loses every single night. It's crazy.
No, it seems like the Islanders could win the next 7 games and still not catch the Caps.
Right.
So, I mean, these points are crucial. Also, I believe a lot of these games too coming up, they're divisional opponents for a number of them, because they're playing, you know, they're seeing the Rangers and the Devils and, you know, teams that, I mean, the fact that they hadn't seen the Rangers up until, you know, this coming week is incredible. And the Devils,
which
as well,
is stupid, so. Christian, 3 times in the span of 7 or 8 days, whatever it is coming up here with the Rangers, when you only play them 4 times during the year, it's
right
such a long
incredible
season. Can we spread it out a little bit here? They did this last year, I feel like, too. They played all their games in November in, like, 3 games in a span of 2 weeks. Like, Christian, what is that about? I mean, honestly.
It's just, the NHL, I give them, to be fair, I mean, that you're talking about people who have to figure out the schedules for 31 teams
and
figure out the availability for 31 different arenas. So I kind of give them some leeway as far as how they put this together. I don't think it's as big of a conspiracy as people like to think it is, but it is very unusual. You're seeing like two of the team's biggest rivals, you see them in such a short span of time. And maybe that's exciting just for the metropolitan area as far as hockey goes, because obviously the Islanders are the big fish right now. The Rangers and Devils struggling a little bit. So maybe it adds a little excitement. And I'm sure they were kind of, maybe the NHL league office was hopefully, I'm sure they were hopeful that the Devils would have been a little bit better than they are this so far this year. And the Rangers, the same thing. So these games would have been a little more important. But, I mean, these are still important games for the Islanders. They need the points. They need the points desperately. Like you said, you know, teams are right behind them. They're still trying to chase the Capitals in the Metropolitan Division. Also, it's just getting back on the win column in the Coliseum. I mean, they had struggled, you know, before that Colorado
yeah
win, where they had lost their last 4 games at the Nassau Coliseum. Also, you talk about the Islanders having a lot of home games coming up. They're also making the switch back to the Barclays Center coming up
After the All-Star break.
Month.
Well, they're all playing there this Saturday, right?
Too.
Yeah, this Saturday's at the Barclays against Boston,
yep,
and then they've got three at the Collie, and then when they come back after the All-Star break, those 3 games against those Western Conference teams are all at the Barclays Center. So.
Right. So that's coming up too. So they want to get back in the one column. They obviously, you know, the guys love playing Nassau Coliseum. They want to put on a good show there. So, you know, that kind of stunk too for I'm sure the fans that started to show up again. You see the Coliseum starting to get closer and closer to that sellout mark after the building maybe not being as full as the people were expecting to be early in the year. So that's a good thing for the team. And obviously they want to put a good product on the ice. So these are important games for a lot of different reasons. And like you said, you don't want to give away points at home. That's the toughest thing, too, especially once you get to March when you're on the road and you're jockeying for position that impacts your playoff spot, that impacts your whether you get home ice advantage. So, I mean, that was such a crucial aspect for the Islanders last year in the postseason. So these points matter.
Yeah.
You know, this is the time of year where things start to creep back up on you.
No question. And this is the time of year last year where they really took off and passed the Capitals there for
yep
a while and took over first in the Metro. And you don't got to worry about next Thursday, Christian, it being full at the Coliseum. I'm very I'm interested in that split, because that's the first Islander-Ranger game in the new, quote-unquote, Nassau
right
Coliseum. So I'm very interested in the split next Thursday.
What it always is. I was going to say 60-40 Islander fans.
I'm hoping for a little bit more than that, but you're right. It's probably going to fall right in that area. So, but it will be a full crowd. There's no doubt about that. It'll be a raucous...
It'll be an electric building. It'll be a playoff-type atmosphere, for sure.
Right, and listen, I know that it kind of... I don't like it just because of the shortness, but it's going to be fun, you know, three games with the Rangers in 8 days. There's a fun side to it, and there's a stupid side to it. So that's really the only way that I look at it. Christian, tremendous job as always. You can check out Christian's work, of course, on Islanders Insight. You can follow him on Twitter, @C_Arnold01. Right, Christian? You got the 01
That's
there.
That's correct,
back
yeah.
End. So @C_Arnold01. Christian does an outstanding job. He also has me as his Twitter header. So how about that? Your header photo. You got me in there with you.
Well, the two of us. And for some reason, the Twitter picture seems to have kind of captured you more than me. We'll have to fix that.
Come on, Christian. It's all right. I like the picture. You did a good job with it. I'll talk to you soon, buddy. Thanks for coming on, and I'll see you at the Collie, okay?
Of course, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
My thanks right there to Christian Arnold, Islanders Insight. Tremendous job by CA. Always good to talk to him. Got a lot more to do. We will talk about All-Star Game coming up. Still got to get some votes in for Brock. The upcoming schedule. Not a lot of time away from home for the Islanders in the next month, as we discussed with Christian right there. And the fact that we'll also talk about nobody ever loses in this division. It's pretty crazy, especially the Pittsburgh Penguins. A lot more to do. Isle Seat Podcast rolls on right after this. The Isle Seat Podcast is brought to you by Oakwood Automation. If you are looking to leverage modern technology to control your home or business, Oakwood Automation Systems has you covered. Put control over your alarm system, surveillance cameras, home theater, indoor and outdoor audio, and so much more in the palm of your hand. For more information, go to oakwoodautomation.com or find us on House and Facebook by searching Oakwood Automation. Bright Building Services. Bright Building Services is a full-service commercial cleaning company serving businesses throughout the New York metro area for over 22 years. With clients spanning all sectors from boutique fitness and corporate headquarters to laboratories and medical facilities. Contact them for all of your commercial cleaning needs. For more information, please visit brightbuildingservicesny.com or check them out on Instagram or Facebook at Bright Building Services. That's Bright, spelled B-R-I-T-E. Santorini Restaurant. Santorini is family owned and operated for over 20 years and offers a variety of the best gyros, salads, and signature Greek dishes sure to please. Located at 133 Merrick Avenue in Merrick, New York, Santorini Restaurant, it's all about family. The Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington Village on Long Island's North Shore. Unplug your game. They have a huge selection of hobby and family strategy board games for sale, from old favorites to the newest releases. A library of over 400 board games for open play every day. A board game and RPG after school program for grades 1 through 12. They do Magic the Gathering, Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh, Warhammer, and Dungeons and Dragons events and tournaments, birthday parties and corporate events. Come in for food and drink, coffee and desserts, beer and wine, and of course, fun and friends. The Main Street Board Game Cafe at 307 Main Street in Huntington Village. Go to MainStreetBoardGameCafe.com for more information. Main Street Board Game Cafe, unplug your game. Accurate Precast Corporation is a family-run business, and they've been getting it done for over 20 years. Accurate designs and manufactures custom concrete building materials for commercial and residential applications throughout the entire tri-state area. Architectural cast stone, bands, cornice, lintels, entry and window details, ornamentals, sills, trim, custom designs. They do it all at Accurate. Accurate's production facility is located at 1957 Pitkin Avenue in Brooklyn. Stop by or call them today at 718-345-2910. Check out all their work right now and follow them at Accurate Precast Corp. on Instagram.
This is Anders Lee, and you're listening to the Isle Seat Podcast.
And we're back, the Isle Seat Podcast. Mike Carver here with you. Islanders get a couple days off here. They won't play again until Saturday night at the Barclays Center against the Boston Bruins. They look to go to 2-0 against Boston. They, of course, got the win there a couple of weeks ago. And then they will start a stretch where they will play the Rangers three times over 8 days. So a lot to look forward to. We'll get to the schedule in a second. First off, a couple quick things. First of all, of course, we've seen over the last couple days a little bit more Sorokin rumors out there. I don't know. I find it so hard to believe that this organization, who did what they did last summer, Varlamov in, Leonard out, all of that stuff, and then it would end with Ilya Sorokin not playing for the Islanders. I find it very hard to believe. And the other thing that I would have about trading him right now is, what kind of value does he have right now? He is a complete unknown. If he's the god that everybody says he is in the KHL, nobody, you know, how do you value that if you were trading him in the NHL right now? I don't know. People think that they're going to get some big score for Ilya Sorokin. I don't think so. I just do not think so. He is a maybe. He is a what if. He is a gamble. The Islanders are right now the team that holds his rights to take that gamble, which I think they are going to do starting next year. But to trade him right now, unless he absolutely flat out, you know, takes his agent, talks to Lou, whatever happens, and he says, listen, I'm telling you, we are not coming. You know, and get what you can get now, or I'm going to stay in the KHL. Unless that scenario is completely on the table, that is the only way I would see this guy getting dealt. You would not get equal value for this guy. You just won't. He hasn't played here. You don't know what he's going to do here. And if the guy's as good as he says without playing here yet, you would never get the proper value. So I'm not too big on the Sorokin stuff. I still believe, and it's such a flip from me. I mean, you know what happened here. I went years saying I would never see this guy play for the Islanders. Years. The What's Out of White Whale name was born. White Whale name was born because I said, this guy's never going to play here. He's a figment of everybody's imagination. And now this talk, and then when the Varlamov thing happened, I thought, he's here. This has been my thought since last summer. He is coming here next year. It will be Varlamov. It will be White Whale. This is, I still believe, a money ploy by his team. Get him over here early. Burn the year so he can get paid better in the summer. Whatever the deal is. I don't believe the Islanders will trade him, especially when they cannot possibly get the proper value for him when he hasn't played here. I just don't believe it. So whatever happens, we'll see what happens with that, because that, you know, that'll be part of this whole deadline thing too coming up, is the Sorokin stuff. Now to this All-Star Game stuff. And first of all, keep voting for Brock if you want him in the game, and that's fine. 10 times a day, the push is out. Go do it. Does he deserve to be in the All-Star Game this year? Probably. He's having a really good season. Really good season. Here's the other part of the All-Star Game. It's just, you know, nobody cares. Nobody does care at the end of the day. Are you guys sitting down watching the whole All-Star Game? Are you doing it? I mean, if you're doing it, fine. By all means. You want to see the Islanders in the game? I get it. Barzell's going to be there again. He'll put on a show. He's great in a 3-on-3. He had a blast with Crosby and Letang last year. Fine. And this is another reason why the All-Star Game's a joke. It's an absolute joke. So they put Jarry in from Pittsburgh, right? I mean, he clearly, Varlamov should be there before Jarry. I mean, clearly. It's just not even, you know, not even a discussion. Should be Varlamov over him. But to be fair, to be honest with you, I don't care. And not only because nobody's going to watch the game anyway, because the only thing that can happen in that game then is, you know, you run the risk of getting hurt. So like last year, where a lot of us thought that Leonard or Greiss maybe should be in the game, they weren't. That's fine. They rested up. Look at the second half that they had. Get the rest. Trust me. Would it be nice for Brock to win this vote? It would be great. Am I going to shed a tear if he doesn't? No, I am not. Aside from the fact, when you've never been to one, you'd like to see a guy go. Like Bailey a couple years ago. So for that aspect, of course, you want to see Brock get that recognition on the national stage. But for the most part, who cares? It's the All-Star Game. You're barely going to watch anyway. You barely are. You know, it just is what it is. You want him to get the recognition, but you also want him to get the rest. That's like earlier, it's a tough line to draw, whichever side you want to be on. Upcoming schedule. Here's the deal. I brought this up with Christian, and it's very interesting. Between now and February 8th, the Islanders only play one game outside of the metropolitan area. That is on the 19th. They are in Carolina. Other than that, all their games are either in the Nassau Coliseum, the Barclays Center, or Madison Square Garden. That is it. So that is a pretty good stretch there. You have, of course, the 9 or 10 days off in the middle there from the 22nd to the 31st, 9 days off in the All-Star break area. But Islanders have a ton of home games here over the next stretch, really between now and the end of February. Islanders have a ton of home games. And March is very tricky. March is just a gauntlet. They have tons of road games, the Western Canada trip, playing every other night. Pittsburgh, Philly, Toronto, Montreal, they got a brutal schedule in March. So what do the Islanders have to do here over these next, you know, 5 or 6 weeks? You know, they had a strong 5 or 6 weeks. Now they've had a 500 5 or 6 weeks. They need to get back to the strong 5 or 6 weeks, because I got a feeling looking at that schedule in March that you're going to be coming to the end. It's going to be tough coming down the stretch. So you got to take this opportunity you got where you got a ton of home games. You got some teams. Now, you listen, you got Boston on Saturday. We know that that's a huge game. You got Washington the Saturday after that. We know that. But mixed in there, three games with the Rangers, which we've talked about ad nauseum, and next week we'll talk a ton about as well. Rangers, you're better than them. You know, we just saw with the Devils. You split with them. You're better than them, too. Detroit in here, you know, win games. Carolina, as we know, since last April, has been an absolute house of horrors. And you got that mixed in, too. But you got opportunities here over the next few weeks to gain some ground. And it's hard. Gaining some ground is not even the word to use. The phrase to use, I should say. The phrase to use is to try to separate somewhat from these other teams in the Metro. You know, just try to. It is such a hornet's nest in this Eastern Conference. I mean, the Islanders, you know, they're 27-12-3. They got 57 points. One of the top five teams in the National Hockey League. And they're still 8 points back of Washington. Two games in hand, of course. Washington does not lose. How about the Penguins? They're, what are they, 13-3-1 since December 1st? They're tied with the Islanders at 57 points. Isles have a game in hand on them. There's been a little bit, thankfully, of separation with everyone else. Carolina has struggled a little bit. They're at 52. The Flyers have struggled a little bit. They're at 50. Columbus is now the team that hasn't lost in weeks. They've shot up to 50. So where it was like a four-point stretch between second and fifth in the Metro, I mean, the Isles and the Pens have gotten a little bit of room now between Carolina and Philly, but still, I mean, that thing could change in a week. So you've got an opportunity here over the next month to 6 weeks to possibly separate yourself a little bit more from the Carolinas and the Philadelphias and the Columbuses. And if, you know, I'm not even getting involved in the other teams in a wild card. Yeah, I'll just fall back to a position we're in a second wild card right now that they just, you know, it just should not happen. It should not happen. I don't care if they don't get any scoring or not. They should not fall that far back. Like we said, when things go bad, they come back and they win a couple games. You can't play 500 the rest of the way either, though. They need to find another 4 out of 5. And then, you know, maybe a couple 500, find another 4 out of 5. You still need to have those stretches. And they've got opportunity for those stretches with a ton of home games here in the next month. So that's what's on the table for the Islanders here. Next week starts the Ranger fiasco. That is always, you know, it's a different side of the coin now for the Islanders and the Ranger stuff. Because the Islanders are the better team now. The Islanders are the better team. Where we've had a few years where the Rangers were the better team. Islanders were the up-and-comer trying to catch them. And it seemed like the Islanders were always beating them. You had the long streak where Halak seemed to never lose to them. You know, the Islanders have had the Rangers number for a long time. But the roles are reversed now. The Islanders are the better team in town. And the Rangers are the young team, the scrappy team, if you want to call them that, that plays weird games every night. Some nights they're playing barn burners. They're mixing in this new kid goalie that they just brought up. It's a weird situation, but to be quite honest with you, the pressure's on the Islanders in those games, especially with all three of them being so close together. You know, it's on the Islanders to win 2 out of those 3 games. That's what you need to do. You know, you play them 3 times in 8 days, you got to win 2 out of 3 of them. one way or the other. You got to win your home game and split those two games in the Garden. That's just the way that it is. You know, they're tricky games. You're going to deal with the moron Ranger fans at the Nassau Coliseum next Thursday. You're going to deal with them. You know, it is what it is. You know, they're trying to pump their chest out right now that they've got this good young club and they're the future in this town. That's what they're doing right now. And they come and take a couple games off the Islanders, they're not going to shut up. I don't care if the Islanders are 12 points ahead of them. They're not going to shut up. So hopefully the Islanders can go in, take care of business against them, and, you know, push them down a peg too. That'd be nice to see. On the live show front, my thanks again to everybody that came out to Bobby McCann's last Saturday night. Had a great time. Bobby and his staff did an outstanding job. My thanks to Benoit Hogue. He was excellent. You guys can check that out. I did upload it. It is the episode before this. Wherever you listen to the Aisle Seat Podcast, the audio is what it is. You can hear me and Benny talk. You just also have to listen to the people that were at the table closest to my phone talk as well. But I thought it was clear enough that you could hear me and Benny that hopefully everybody checked it out. If you have not yet, it is the episode entitled Benoit Hogue Live Show, whatever I listed it as. So really, thanks again to everybody that came out for that. We now focus towards February 15th. That will be at the Offside Tavern in New York City, our home away from home. The Islanders play the Vegas Golden Knights that night at 10:30. We will have a 8 o'clock Aisle Seat Podcast like last year in February. I expect good times, fun stuff. I'm starting to put everything together now. Can't wait to get out there. That is always a fun show, the February Offside Tavern show. We've done that the last 2 years. This will be the third year in a row. We do an Aisle Seat Podcast in February from the Offside Tavern. That'll be a good time, too. I will also be at Parlay in Rockville Center this Monday before the first Islander-Ranger game with the Hockey Night New York guys, Sean and Tony. This Monday before the Ranger game, Parlay in Rockville Center. I believe they're going at 6 o'clock. I'll be on with them in their pregame show, 6 to puck drop they'll be on. Steve Webb is going to be there, among others. So if you are in the Rockville Center area or wherever, come down. I'll be one of the guests there live on set. And we'll have a good time at Parlay before the Islanders and the Rangers get going. And that's that for this one. We will get back to you next week. Probably keep the same schedule after those two games. You know, the Monday, Tuesday back-to-backs. We'll get with you on Wednesday as the Islanders are going to be playing the Rangers then on Thursday. And we'll talk between those two games. My thanks, as always, to the sponsors. They're always doing great stuff. Oakwood Automation. You saw an Instagram post I retweeted from them. Oakwood Automation doing some work on the Calvin Coolidge Summer White House. They put some really cool stuff in there. Go check out their Instagram for that. Bright Building Services, always doing great stuff. I'm always putting their Instagram stuff there. Go by Santorini and Merrick. Great food. Go in there, bring the family, have a fun time in there. The Main Street Board Game Cafe in Huntington, I was in there a couple weeks ago. The place is outstanding. Games wall to wall. Sit down, have a little something to eat, have a little something to drink. Bring your friends, have some games. I had a really fun time going in and checking out the Main Street Board Game Cafe when I was in Huntington a couple weeks back. And, of course, Accurate Precast Corporation. Check them out on Instagram. Tons of cool stuff that they are doing as well. So our sponsors, they take care of us. Please take care of them. It is a new year. It is 2020. Please support the Aisle Seat Podcast sponsors. And, of course, YesMenOutfitters.com, where you can get your Aisle Seat Podcast gear. Devin's got some stuff brewing as well. He's got big drops coming in the next couple of weeks. So keep your eyes peeled to YesMenOutfitters.com for all of that. My thanks again to Christian Arnold from Islanders Insight. Islanders and Bruins Saturday night. It'll be three games as usual till we talk again. Bruins, Rangers, Red Wings. I think you know what we always say, right? Two out of three. Just get two out of three. We'll see you guys next week. Mike Carver, the Aisle Seat Podcast. See you then.